Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We finished our sermon series on Psalm 23 this morning by looking at verse 6. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Each one of our lives is a journey. Sometimes they are in green pastures and beside still waters. Other times they are in the darkest valleys, but through it all, we see God at work in our lives. Looking back, we see His hand supporting us in the darkest times, as well as providing us the needed nourishment and healing that we need in our best times. Our ultimate goal is to make it to the Master's house and enjoy His presence forever, a place where there is no more pain, sorrow, or death. I pray you have made Jesus your shepherd and have reserved your room in His mansion. May God bless and keep you this week. This is my last Sunday at the UCC of California. I will start preaching at the Montauk Advent and St. Paul's Evangelical in Jamestown in December. Thank you for listening these last 7 years.
Merciful God, we know that you love us and that you call us to fullness of life. But around us and within us, we see the brokenness of the world and of our ways. Our successes leave us empty. Our progress does not satisfy. Our prosperous land is not the promised land of our longing. Forgive our willful neglect of your word, our insensitivity to the needs of others, and our failure to feed the spirit that is within us. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
For this Worldwide Communion Sunday, our senior choir sang a communion anthem entitled Remember.
This is the body.
scriptures are read by Carla Clennon, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, The Ultimate Home Security System.
Our first scripture reading today is Psalms 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths, and I did not have the enemy's goat for me. Lord my God, I called you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me from the realms of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you have faithful people. Praise his name wholly. For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you have favored me, you made me royal mountains stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cry for mercy. What is gained if I am silent, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing and move my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing the praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I praise you forever. Here ends our first scripture reading. Our second scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. They are servants of Christ. I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged for more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews and 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, and dangers from my fellow Jews, in danger from Galileans, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Here ends our scripture readings. Blessings be to God.
We're in Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5. And I call this sermon God's Ultimate Home Security System, or the Ultimate Home Security System. I went out and checked different security systems that are out there. ADT is one. Maybe you've seen their little sign stuck in the yard. Vivint is one, too, that is out there. And when we get into Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5, we see God's security system. He's already told us a little bit about it. He's described it to us. He has said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me by still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He guides me along his paths. Right. All, but he's talking about him in the third person. He's describing God to us. Look at the change in verses 4, 5, and 6. Let's read verses 4 and 5. See if you pick up on the change. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Did you catch the change from the first three verses to the next two? He's no longer describing God to us. What is he doing? He's conversing with God. He's having a conversation with God. Because something has happened in his life that is no longer description. He's having a personal, contact. Something's going on in his life. And I don't think that it's any coincidence. It's that's when he's walking through the darkest valley. It's no longer a description is not enough. I've got to communicate with him directly. A man said it this way. Richard Foster. God becomes a reality when he becomes a necessity. Let me read that again. God becomes a reality when he becomes a necessity. I can stand up here and I can preach about it, and I've done it for 7 years now, and describe different words, talk about God, but he becomes real to me in the middle of the night when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Worried about my family. Worried about things heavy on my heart. And you can't go back to sleep. That's when you cry out to God, and that's what David is doing here in verses 4, 5, and 6. His description doesn't do anymore. He has to do it now personally. And so when we look at these two verses here, we see why God is the ultimate security system. We see, number one, that there are going to be many valleys in our lives. He uses the word there, the valley of the shadow of death, or our translation, NIV, says the deepest darkness. You know, we were down at Jacob's cave yesterday. The cave was closed. I've never been in Jacob's cave. I would like to go to Jacob's cave. I've lived in central Missouri all my life. First visit to Jacob's cave, and the cave is closed, all right? We've lived in central Missouri most of my life. Just went to Bridal Cave 3 years ago, all right? So it's slow getting around him, but I'm going to do it one of these days. I like going to caves. Betty has drawn the line now. She says, I've gone to my last cave. We've gone plenty of caves over 37 years. No more caves. Because inadvertently, when you get in there, what do they do when you get halfway through the tour? What do? They turn off the lights. And then it gets really, really dark. The deepest darkness. There's not a hint of light in there. There's going to be a lot of valleys that we walk through in our lives. We see it in the life of Joseph in Genesis. His brothers sell him into slavery. He goes to prison. He gets betrayed by his friends. A lot of deep, dark valley. Spends most of his life in a foreign country away from family. Daniel is in the lion's den. We see David fight lions and bears and Goliath. His falling with Bathsheba. Chased by Saul for years. The betrayal of a son, Absalom. We see Peter the apostle in the boat. When the storm is coming, they think they're all going to die. And then we see him later on when Jesus locks eyes with him after Peter had denied him 3 different times. Deep, dark valleys. We just read about the Apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthians chapter. He lists all of his deep, dark valleys. But we shouldn't be surprised, and he shouldn't be surprised, because in Acts 9, when he becomes a disciple, when Jesus stops him on the road, this is what he tells him. He says, I will show him, Paul, how much he must suffer for my name. I don't know about you, but if that would have been the first lead-in line for me to become a Christian, I think it might give me a little bit of pause. But later on in Acts, after he had been a disciple for a while, this is their message to the people in the church. He says, you must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We know that there's going to be many dark valleys. Many of you have gone through different ones. You're going through dark valleys right now, tough valleys. That's why David writes these verses 4, 5, and 6. Because also he tells us the longer we know someone, the deeper our relationship it should be. We should know our home security system and the person behind it. We see that David changes from he now to you. David had run and had seen God in the valley. David had seen God work in the cave. He had seen God work in the desert. He had seen God work in the palace. It's in God work through the loss of a child. We forget that his transgression with Bathsheba, the child died. And he could truly say it was because of his fault that his own child died. He saw God work in the betrayal of one of his sons. All the different spiritual failures that come. But then all through it, he addresses God as personal. When you read through the book of Psalms, and I encourage families when I meet with them when they've lost a loved one, I encourage them, read through the book of Psalms. The next time that you do that, find the Psalms where you see the writer address God as you. Look at Psalm 139. He says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I leave from you? He says, you are the one. He says, you've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. He says, there's nowhere I can go. I know that you're always with me. And that leads into the third thing, why God is the ultimate home security. He is always with us. A few months ago, the kids stayed with us, our grandkids, Baylor and Gannon. They always want to sleep with their grandma. They don't want to sleep with grandpa because Baylor says grandpa snores. That's her excuse. I don't snore. Betty has told me I do, but I don't think I do. I never hear myself snore. But this time, somehow, I got Baylor convinced to sleep with me that night. But she was being kind of contrary, and so she got in there and she started moving around and turning around. Eventually, she ended up her head at the foot of the bed and her feet facing the headboard. And that's how she fell asleep. But in the middle of the night, when I flipped over to lay on the other side, I felt her reach out her hand and grab my hand. And she held onto my hand in the middle of the night. And the next morning at breakfast, I kind of kidded her. I said, Baylor, you didn't want to sleep with me, but you held my hand in the middle of the night. She says, Grandpa, I always hold somebody's hand when I'm scared. Lets us know that God is always with us. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you're there. Even your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. God reminds us that no matter where we go, he's always with us. Jesus' last words to his disciples, and remember the song of the choir this morning, remember, lo, I am always with you. It's a throwaway verse in Acts 23, but it's one that's held dear to me, and I've asked God many times to do the same thing for me. When Paul is standing in prison, it says, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you've testified about me in Jerusalem, you're going to testify about me in Rome. It's that first part. The Lord stood near Paul. I've asked many times for the Lord to do that in the middle of the night, to let me know that he's holding my hand. Psalm 34:7, that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, that he takes up residence. Jesus said in John chapter 10, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So our home security system is always on. The code is always set. God is always there. And he also gives us the necessary equipment and people to help us get us through that darkest valley. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. These were the tools of the shepherd. They were familiar with them. The rod was there to defend them. The staff was there to rescue them. We see David walk into the valley with Goliath with his staff and his sling with him. For us, maybe we have something that's our favorite tool or our favorite club. For me, it's my 5-wood. I can use that 5-wood to hit almost any distance. If I have any doubt about if a par 3 is too far away, I pull out my 5-wood. Jim Deacon has seen me do it. I can hit it off the ground. I can hit it off the tee. And it's my favorite club. David is telling us that we have favorite clubs in our bag too. The first one is the Holy Spirit. God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us walk through the valley. And he uses people to be with the Holy Spirit, to be with us and comfort us. He also gives us the other weapon of the Bible, his word, to read regularly. It's not to be under a glass pane, to be only used in case of emergency. It's our daily nourishment. It's our daily place that we go to be reminded of God's love, God's care. Hebrews chapter 4 calls it the sword. It said it is like a sharp-edged sword that judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. When we let fear and doubt enter our mind when we read God's word, it pushes it out for us. And then he finally gives us the weapon of prayer to communicate with him and call him you instead of he. But he gives us the equipment and the people to guide us, to comfort us, to help us walk through the valley. And he provides us nourishment when our enemies have to watch. Here in a few moments, we're going to have communion. We're going to gather around the Lord's table. We're going to celebrate the death of Jesus Christ and what it means to us. And we're going to think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our enemies are sitting on the outside looking in. Satan is there. His demons are. They cannot gather around the table because they know they've been defeated. This is our table set up by our Lord. It's a place that we get the nourishment that we want. It's a place that we're reminded of the cross. We're reminded of the sacrifice. We're reminded of the, the love and the mercy that only comes through him. There's an episode of Little House on the Prairie where Albert and his buddy Andrew want to go out on their own and take this trip. They want to live off the land and prove to their dads, Charles and Jonathan, that they can do it. Charles and Jonathan let them do it, but they're going to follow behind. And when Albert and Andrew fail, they're going to swoop in and save the day. If you know the episode, it's Charles and Jonathan that suffer. Albert and Andrew, they stay warm, they stay well fed, they make every right decision, but it's the ones in the shadow, Charles and Jonathan, that are hungry, that are cold, that are sleepless. That's our enemies. God sets up his table to make our enemies jealous. In Mark chapter 2, it says when Jesus called Matthew, the tax collector, it says that he went and ate with them. It says while they were eating, it says that the Pharisees saw them eating with the sinners and tax collectors. They asked the disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners. I never looked at it. That was the table that Jesus was setting in the presence of his enemies for the ones that he loves. And that's the table that we gather around today. But he also has the best home security system, because when we have someone that invades and hurts us, he soothes our wounds and heals our wounds. The shepherd would have salve and oil to treat his sheep if they had been attacked by something or if they had pests or bugs that were bothering them. I like to be out in the woods this time of year, but it's hard to do when it's 85 degrees outside, so I've not been out in the woods yet. But if I did, I would put on my backwoods off to try to keep the mosquitoes away. If I got into a little poison ivy, I'd put my Ruli gel on to soothe the itch. Jesus has soothed our wounds and healed our wounds by his blood. He has taken away the sin that has pulled us down and separated us from God, and he has paid that penalty. He has given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us and protect us from the danger that is out there. And he has given people that come alongside us and soothe us and heal us and are the hands and feet of Jesus. Many times we go through valleys so that later on in life we can help others through their valley. Paul knew that in 2 Corinthians. He says, praise to be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You might be going through a valley right now, so that 5, 6, 7 years, someone else is going through that, and you'll be right there to help them walk through that valley. A few years ago, a family in our community lost a son to an accident. The very first person that showed up at their door was a mother who'd lost her child 25 years ago. She knew exactly what they were facing. She brought the salve, she brought the oil to start treating the wounds and help them heal. We also see here with our home security system that he gives us more than we expect or deserve. Friday night, Betty and I went to Arrow Rock to watch the play up there, Arsenic and Old Lace. Really, really good. I'd never seen the movie. I look forward to seeing it, but really good. But before we went there, we had made reservations at the J. Houston Tavern. We do that fairly often when we go up there. We went in there and they had made one big improvement since we'd ate there last time. They had Pepsi products now. And you know what that means? That means Mountain Dew, all right? And so she asked me what I wanted to drink. I had a glass of water just to show Betty that, yeah, I'll take a sip of it, but I'm waiting for the main thing. She brought that out. We went and got our food and we were eating. And when my cup got about that low, she was right there with another full glass of Mountain Dew. I gave her a good tip when we left. She let my cup never run dry. My cup was running over. But God has always been in the business of giving us more than we expect or deserve. He started with the ones in the wilderness. He gave them all the manna and the quail and led them to water, more than what they needed. He gave the woman at the well and the woman that was bleeding a relationship with God, more than just healing. With Jesus was fishing, and Peter and them were fishing. He told them to throw their nets on the other side, and they got so many fish it almost broke their nets. When Jesus fed the 5,000, they walked around and gathered up 12 baskets of fish. But Jesus has always been in the business of giving us more than what we ask or imagine. Jesus said, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or more abundantly.
Paul wrote it this way in Ephesians, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us." Our cup runs over because of Jesus. He just doesn't forgive one sin or two sins. He forgives all our sins and then gives us the Holy Spirit and then gives us the opportunity to spend eternity with him in heaven. Our cup runs over. And then finally, our home security system is the best because he defeats all of our enemies. He defeats our first enemy of death. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Where death is your victory, where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We see people facing death or the possibility of death every day. For the Christian, it's not a loss, it's a gain. Jesus has defeated that enemy through his resurrection, but he's also defeated the enemy of sin, the thing that separates us from God. Romans 6, 22 and 23 says, "But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're going to celebrate that defeat of sin in just a few moments. But he's defeated our enemy of death, our enemy of sin, and then he has defeated the ultimate enemy, Satan himself. James writes that our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he's watching us today. His ones are out there looking to harm us and discourage us. But in Revelation 20, his demons, he says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So our home security system defeats everything that tries to overwhelm us and defeat us. And David writes in Psalm 34:10, "For those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." As I read Norman's favorite verse, Psalm 35, says, "Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." When we read those verses in Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5, we realize that he's right with us. We can call on him by name. And I have seen families in this congregation in Salem do that. I've seen two mothers with kids stand at the casket of their husband and turn to their faith. I've seen them pray with their family as they close the casket right here in this sanctuary, knowing that their faith will pull them through. I've seen a husband turn to the church when their spouse betrayed them. I've seen a wife turn to the church when her spouse betrayed her. They turned to their faith even though they were walking through the darkest valley. As one writer wrote it, Jesus had to endure the cross before he received his crown. And why should we expect anything else? I don't know what valley you are walking in right now. I don't know how big or how deep it is, but you need to know you've had other people that have walked through the same valley. They're ready to walk there alongside of you. Alan will be down in front here. I'll be in the back. If you'd rather meet privately, you know you can get a hold of us through our phones, make an appointment. But we want to help you. We want to walk alongside of you. And if you've never made Jesus your shepherd, you've never received that gift of the Holy Spirit, let's do that today. Let's make that great confession. Let's follow Jesus' example of baptism and rise to new life.